This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey.
Tom Lee Hockey has become part of my morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind this, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
And he says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond LaHockey Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause, presented by the law offices of Pond LaHockey Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause.
And welcome in, everyone, to another live edition of The Labor Show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Kind of a rainy day in Philadelphia, rainy day down at the Jersey Shore. So as you tune in and listen, settle in. Two good hours coming up, both live hours tonight. I welcome in my good buddy and my partner, J-Doc. J-Doc, busy show tonight, my friend. A lot of ground to cover, but first let me bring you into the live broadcast here on The Labor Show.
Yeah, Joe, so much to talk about. Lots going on. We're going to have Maddie McIntyre, president and business manager of IATSE8. It's actually his debut on the show, so we're doing a nice spotlight on Maddie and the union and the great things they do. I'm going to have Brian Dougherty, who happens to be my brother. We're going to be talking about retirees and pre-retirees segment and benefits in an educational webinar we have coming up in September. And we have big news really right now, and it's an update, so we can't get all the details, but we're going to have Sean Steffi of Boilermakers Local 154 calling in to give us an update on Reggie.
Yeah, we'll bring Sean in just a moment. We'll also sprinkle in this first hour. We'll update everybody on the Unite 54 details out of Atlantic City. We'll cover that, and we'll transition out of hour number one into an hour number two live show, a great lineup on the John Dougherty hour as well. So a live 2 hours. Let's get with it. Let's get underway, J-Doc. Sean Steffi standing on deck, ready to come in. I'll let you set the table for a big update. It's a topic, by the way, as you know, that we spent a lot of time on. We've covered a lot of ground on this topic, on Reggie. And with that, I'll let you set the table, and let's get Sean in and get an update from him.
Yeah, and so we've been talking about the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, a.k.a. Reggie, for some time. And in a lot of ways, the highway to hell was paved with good intentions. And as well as a good intention as this is, it's got potential devastating, consequences to Pennsylvanians. And so Sean is going to give us, he's on top of this. He's, like I said, business agent, Boilermakers Local 154. He's going to update us on something big that happened yesterday. Sean, welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great. We're doing fantastic, and I think we're even doing a little better after we hear the news you're going to give us. Give us that update, my friend.
All right. Well, if you guys all know, and your listeners, that we've been, fighting against Reggie for over 2 years. And we tried it legislatively, and then it finally ended up going to Commonwealth Court. Well, the other day, Commonwealth Court Judge Michael Wosick ruled in our favor from the state entering into the multi-state regional greenhouse gas initiative that this policy was supposed to take place this month. So for now, he is placed an injunction on Governor Wolf's effort to put us into Reggie. And it's, if they can appeal and go to the Supreme Court. But right now, this is a big win for, the Boilermakers, labor, and, our electricity generators and possibly, fossil fuel industry, moving forward in Pennsylvania. And especially at a time that we all know that we're historic, inflation and energy prices, electricity prices. So this is a positive, in my opinion.
Joe Krause?
Yeah, great stuff, Sean. You know, we have been, as you know, and you've been a guest on the show, we have been talking about it. I know that we did a one-hour special leading up into what was first, I guess, the Governor Wolf veto and everything leading up into that. So I think it's tremendous news. I think it's big news. You know, I think it's a... maybe celebration is the wrong way to describe what should occur, but it's just so great to hear a win for the union community, a win for the Boilermakers, just a win all the way around.
And a win for the Pennsylvanians. And like I said, the highway to hell was paved with good intentions. And it's an environmental bill that's going to put some insane tax on our electric bills. And at the end of the day, Sean, elaborate there if you would for a second, because talk to people about the remind our listeners about the consequences should this go the other way.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, at a time and place that we're at right now, and everybody sees how important energy is, and here we are in Pennsylvania. You know, we said this in the past, we're a leader. This is big. This saves thousands of jobs, millions of man hours at these plants. This could be, you know, something that propels us into start building new energy infrastructure with new technology that we can start getting a foot forward and get this behind us and start moving forward and be the leader in the Northeast like we should be in energy. But let's do it environmentally friendly like we can. We know what to do. Let the, you know, organized labor and everybody else, let's start doing it. Let's quit fighting. We all need energy and electricity, and renewables isn't there yet. And I think this is a step that way.
Yeah, good stuff, Sean. Steffi joining us here, hour number one of the Labor Show, as we're live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Big, big news again. And Sean, just so our listening audience gets it, and I don't mean to ask you to be repetitive, but before we let you go here on this Saturday night, talk us through again, tell us again exactly what happened, what the judge ruled, and what that means, where we go from here.
Yeah, sure. So again, it went to court. You know, we fought, you know, Reggie hard the whole way through legislative, and it ended up in, you know, in court. So Commonwealth Court Judge Michael Wojcik ruled in our favor, preventing, you know, Governor Wolf and the state from entering the multi-state regional greenhouse gas unit for now. And, you know, this policy was supposed to take place in July, and it will not take place. And they can appeal to the Supreme Court, which they probably won't see a hearing until November in the midterms and elections. I think this is behind us. I think it's really good news. I mean, it's not over yet by no means, but we need to move forward right now. And I think that's a good indicator that that's where, you know, the judge, he's seen that it needs to be done legislatively. So we'll see what happens from here. But for right now, I'm gonna take it as a win. And
well,
we
done.
Still have the war to win, but it's, the battle has been won.
Yeah, great stuff. Sean, Steffi jumping on live with us here on a Saturday night. Sean, appreciate it, man. We keep fighting and we keep banging forward, but well done. Congrats to you and to the entire organization and the international. Appreciate you coming on, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
You go. Take care, guys.
All right, good stuff, J-Doc. Sean, Steffi there with what a great story that is, at least for now, a victory. And I know it's one that we've talked about on this show. We've talked about it on the Labor and Energy Show as well. Hour number one of the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On the other side of our first break, Matt McIntyre, president and business manager of IOTC8, joins us live. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by IBEW Local 98 North, UFCW Local 1776, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, and the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, DC21.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
Man, back here live on the Labor Show here on a Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Again, live in hour number one and also live in hour number two, the John Dockery Hour. Busy show tonight, J-Doc, but great to hear that update from Sean Steffi. We've been talking about it a long, long time. We've done radio specials on it. We've done specials on the Labor and Energy Show. And as Sean said, the battle has been won. We may still be at war over the issue, but great win, and it was great to hear.
Absolutely. And you know, Joe, it's something that it will impact all Pennsylvanians, and we're glad we told everybody we were going to update them, and that's what we're doing. So we thank Sean Steffi, of course. And one of the things we talk about often, Joe, is the leadership in the Philadelphia area in regards to our union community. It's why we are the number one union community in the country. And I'm ecstatic to bring into the program a great friend and one of our labor leaders that not only makes it happen, and is one of the reasons why we are the number one labor community in the country. But it's a big night. It's his debut on the Labor Show. So I'm ecstatic to bring in Matt McIntyre, who's the president and business manager of IATSE 8. We've had Mike Barnes on, who's the national vice president. I'm ecstatic to bring in Matt. How are you, Matt?
Good, Joe. How are you? Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, my friend, and so much to talk about. Everybody who doesn't know what IATSE is, it's the International Alliance of Theatrical and Stage Employees. They handle all the big events in the city of Philadelphia, from the convention center to the parkway. Every time you see an elaborate setup, it's IATSE 8 employees doing a phenomenal job, from that to the Pope and everything in between. So, Matt, if you would, okay, because we talk about the importance of great leadership like we have in our building trades, in our union community, in our AFL-CIO in Philadelphia. Talk about the importance of leadership in leading a union, and talk about your passion for leading your members.
Well, Joe, as you said about the entertainment business, people don't even know a union exists for entertainment workers, and we are that union, and we were established in 1893, so we're coming on 129 years, which is a lot of time going by, and we represent everybody from stagecraft to motion pictures to broadcast to exhibits to displays. We represent everybody that is in entertainment, convention centers, and basically we were looked at as a non-union group for a long time until we really established ourselves as a real union, and we affiliated with the AFL-CIO, and we really played our part, and we joined the building trades, and I have to tell you, with when you have a team like that behind you, you really can't lose. We're in a union city, and it just feels good to be a part of that whole mechanism, because it really makes things work, and it really helps bring up the wages for everybody, not just union members. And I say that often, that when we say, hey, support the union, you're not just supporting the union, you're supporting everybody, because we bring up the wages for everybody around the country. So that's very important to me, and I just want to explain that to people, that it's just not for union workers, it's for everybody.
And talk about, as the labor leader for IATSE, talk about your challenges and what you do from the moment you wake up during the day. What are your primary objectives, and who do you deal with? What types of employers?
Joe, we have so many contracts in Philadelphia now. When I started out 35, 40 years ago, 1989, I was first elected, we had four contracts. Michael Barnes and I went around and we gathered all these contracts, and today I'm proud to say we have over 104 contracts. But the challenge today is you have non-union shows or exhibits or displays coming into town, and they're hiring fly-by-night workers, and these workers want to be represented. They want a better wage. So the challenge now is to organize that show. Maybe we have to put up a picket line. Maybe it's just a conversation. But what we try to do, we try to represent anybody that's doing entertainment work, and we want to bring them into the fold. We are inclusive. Bring them into the union, and we capture that craft. So that's what we really try to do. But the big challenge is organizing the unorganized, and that's what we try to do.
Yeah, and you know, you talk. Let's talk about, you know, that the scope of the work that your members do. I mean, it's vast, from technical work to creating huge displays. Talk about that particular situation, and then you can actually see the importance of having a union and an educated, qualified workforce to do these jobs. And you could imagine why non-union workers would love to get into the union. Talk about that, the scope of the work, Matt.
Well, we are definitely a skilled workforce, no doubt about it. We, from sound to video, you see the shows today. It just blows your mind when you see the magnitude of what they can do today. So we started out with theater back in 1893, and 12 unions organized in New York City to establish the IATSC. And from that point on, we went on to motion pictures, television production, trade shows, exhibitions, broadcasting, concerts. We do shop construction for the news broadcast. You see, Channel 6, we'll build the sets for the shows like that. So really, we are involved in. We even do ticket sellers are within our union. Ticket sellers, ushers for shows you go to, wardrobe people. We represent all of that craft. So it's very vast. And people think, okay, entertainment, what is that? They think it's a DJ setting up. It's much more than that. It's a 25 truck show loading in, and it's so coordinated and so organized, it's unbelievable. So it really is a challenge from day to day, but I live this and I love it.
Matt McIntyre joining us here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause as we come to you live here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Matt, I've always said the public, and you mentioned it there, the public sees the game, or they see the event, or they experience the end product. They have no idea what goes in to getting to that point. It really is a staggering task, depending on the magnitude of the event or the show.
That is correct. Our members will start a job for any given concert. They may have a load-in call at 6 a.m. They may do the setup of the show. We call that the load-in. They will work the rehearsal, the show, and then they will do the load-out. So that day can consist of probably 20 to 24 hours. And you don't work every day like that, but a normal day for a stagehand is a 16 to 20 hour day. It really is. It's what we do. It's what we enjoy to do. And we do it to the best of our ability. And the results are, they speak for themselves. So you see what I'm talking about when you see a concert or a show.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Matt, what's amazing. You mentioned a load out. So first of all, coming from Center City, I use the East River Drive. Okay, the Art Museum area is a primary location for the big events. Okay, and Joe Krause and I have talked about it. We've talked about it with Mike Barnes a number of times. It is so impressive. It blows my mind how, on Monday, I'm driving into town and I see the trucks pull up. On Wednesday, it looks like there's a little city. On Friday, it's gone. Okay.
Yes.
I think it's as impressive the load out and the breakdown and the teamwork that everybody has, and puts together at such a high level. And by the way, these are dangerous scenarios. Some of these stages and the towers that go up are like 10, 15 stories. I mean, it's got to be a sense of pride and a source of pride for you to see the magnitude of the events that are facilitated by your members. There's just nothing like it.
Joe, it really is. It is a sense of pride because it's what we do, and we fulfill the public's expectation. It really makes us happy, but it really is a big show. We call it a show sense. We have a show sense. We know we load in a certain time. We know the show, as you've always heard, the show must go on, and it does go on, and it will go on, and we'll go out to the next city. But we pride ourselves in really doing it the best in the country, and even our counterparts throughout the US of A, IATSC, know that we do it the best in Philadelphia. We build the steel for outdoor shows. We do the production. We do everything they ask of us, and they love us in Philadelphia, and we love that they keep coming to Philadelphia. We are knocking down these outdoor shows one after the other. We're doing Dead & Company now. Next week, we will do Elton John, and that requires so much manpower, or let me say staffing today. It's called staffing, and we are able to fulfill that all across the country after the pandemic. The cities can't fill the jobs. We are filling the jobs, and we're so proud to be doing that, and our members have such pride. But the main reason we have the workforce is because years ago we established our benefits program where we had the pension, annuity, health and welfare, vacation, education. We had all that, and that makes people stick around because you're not leaving when you have that type of package. And thank God for the union that we have that. So I'm proud to say that our workforce is one of the best around.
Yeah, so glad to hear Matt McIntyre say that, J-Doc. We've been shouting it out as often as we can. Matt, let me ask you about normalcy now. Since the pandemic, normalcy now means more shows than pre-pandemic, more events. It seems as though this urgency to return has now perhaps, and I don't know if this is right or not, you'll tell us, where the workload is doubled or tripled because there are more shows, there are more people doing or scheduling what they couldn't schedule or couldn't execute a year or 2 years ago.
That is absolutely true. When the pandemic first came about in March of 2020, when the NBA shut down, everybody shut down. So we were burning at 120% at that point. It went to zero. And now we're back full force. And I will tell you, people just want to see a show. They don't care what kind of show it is. They want to get out. They want to see a show. But as you said, all the backlog of shows that were waiting and waiting and waiting, they are there now. And we have met the task of providing the labor for those shows. And we're so proud to be able to do that in Philadelphia. And I have to tell you, our members are ecstatic to be working again because they're building benefits, their camaraderie. It's just a good feeling. Entertainment industry, it feels, people love it. They're fascinated by it. It's really not all bells and whistles. It's really a tough industry. It really is. People struggle. You work hard. You work long hours. But the reward in the end is you see a product go on stage or in concert, and it really makes you feel great. It fulfills you. So I'm proud to be the representative of that union.
And you know, Matt, the safety record that you guys have, that you know, you talk about, and we're going to talk about the impact on the city's economy and tourism and all that stuff that you guys bring. But before we get to that, and I know Joe wants to go to break, talk about the safety record, because what I love about what you just said is the fact that people go and they see these shows. Yes, they don't see what it, what goes on behind it. And that's the whole point of it. Okay. But your members do these jobs, and they do them safely, and you know they go home to their families when the day is done. That's got to be a very rewarding.
Joe, it really is. And years ago, it wasn't always that way. But we have a program today, educational wise, where we take 1% of everybody's wages and we put it into an education fund. And the first thing we teach is safety. That is first and foremost. We are governed by OSHA. We have our own TCAP program, we call that. And it's all about certifications for rigging and lighting and sound and anything that pertains to our business. So we are very conscious about safety. That's first and foremost, because without safety, you don't have a show. Because if something goes wrong on any given load in or load out, that show is over. It's canceled. They stopped that. They do an investigation. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants to make money. So we make sure we're safe first and foremost.
Joe Krause.
Matt McIntyre is with us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. This is the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Matt, great stuff. We have about 60 seconds left here for your first visit on the Labor Show, and I do hope that you will continue to join us every once in a while. It's nice to have you on. We've enjoyed such a great relationship with Mike Barnes, and it was great to listen to you and hear your passion for what you do and for what your members do. Pretty good stuff.
Joe, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, good stuff. That's Matt McIntyre joining us, business manager at IOTC. AJ, Doc, I'll give you the last 30 seconds before we get into the break. But really amazing. We've been through. I kind of feel like, J. Doc, we've kind of been through the ebb and flow of what it means to be a member of IOTC Local 8, where during the pandemic, when entertainment was shut down, we worked through the process with Mike and learned so much. So it's so great to hear that shows are double and triple deep here in 2022.
Yeah, no question about it, Joe. I mean, we talk about leadership. We talk about leaders like Matt McIntyre and, of course, Mike Barnes, and who've done such a great job. And we didn't even talk about the impact on our economy that these shows bring, and the fact that this workforce and this highly trained, skilled workforce at IOTC 8 does such an amazing job, and the impact they make on our city, just incredible.
Yep, really, really good stuff. Matt McIntyre joining us here on The Labor Show. We'll get to our commercial break. On the other side of the break, we get into the retirement side of what it means to be a union member. It was great to hear Matt talk about benefits and pension and training. That all leads to retirement. We'll pick up that conversation on the other side.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. This edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Laborers District Council, Steam Fitters Local 420, and the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 542.
You're live on a Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Special thanks to Matt McIntyre, J. Doc, joining us for his very first appearance on The Labor Show. But it was so good to have Matt come on to the show. And, you know, the one thing I think that was great to hear, and sometimes the public doesn't understand it, I say it all the time, we see the finished product. We see the game. We see the show. But there are so many details that go into getting that show to a go. And they just do an incredible and an unbelievable job. And I almost wanted to hold them on a little bit longer than we actually had them. But it was nice to actually have Matt come on.
Yeah, and you know what's also great? One of the things, if you heard them, is they have over 100 collective bargaining agreements, which means with their employers and employer organizations. I mean, you know, you see the final product, Joe, and you can't imagine what goes into those big shows, but also the leadership and creating that, you know, that relationship with the employers and the organizations and all that stuff. We're very fortunate here in Philadelphia to have IOTC 8 and a leadership like Matt McIntyre and Mike Barnes, of course. So speaking of proud, this segment we have coming up now is one that I couldn't be more proud of. And if you will, I know you usually introduce everybody, but can I do the honors?
J-Doc, every once in a while, and Sean, who's producing the show for us back in the studio, he knows because I have this conversation with him often when we're offline while we're in commercial break. But every once in a while, you push yourself out to a point where you start to produce this show. And I always text Sean, hey, reel this guy back in. Tell this guy to stay in his lane. This is one time that I'm going to let you produce and do the introduction.
So I got the mic. So it's my pleasure. So Philly Labor, we started an educational webinar series, and what that does is it, you know, we do monthly seminars that provide information, education to our union members and their families and even outside of labor, all kinds of topics we have an upcoming one of those educational webinars that's coming up is one that it's a retirees and pre-retirees segment. And I couldn't be more proud to have my own brother, Brian Dougherty, who's also involved with Philly Labor, but he's also a financial advisor. He's with PLC Financial Solutions. And we have a free the Philly Labor Educational Webinar on an intro to Medicare. And so it's got such great information. We're doing it in September. And so I want to bring Brian in because Brian's going to be hosting the webinar. I'll be also involved so we can tell the listeners about what they're going to learn as part of it. First of all, Brian, welcome to the broadcast, buddy.
Well, it's awesome to be back here again.
Well, you were actually, when we started the Philly Labor broadcast with radio and all, you were actually on the broadcast. It was me, you, and Joe.
I was on the other side.
Exactly. And so, but having said that, you know, these Philly Labor Educational Webinar, the series we have, and we've done them on Social Security Disability with Tom Giordano of Palm the Hockey. We've done them on countless other topics. This one with Medicare for pre-retirees and retirees is a big one because the healthcare marketplace, you know, you got to register by sometime in October. This particular webinar, educational webinar, is going to be on Wednesday, September 21st at 6:30. Tell our listeners a little bit about what they're going to learn in the intro to Medicare webinar.
Well, it's actually super exciting because when we did them before, we kind of blended the topic with Social Security disability and did them with Tom. But, I mean, there's a plethora of information to really get out of. I would find myself rushing trying to get all through it.
Sure.
And I'm excited with this because we're going to have the full hour just to focus on Medicare. Because when I think about Medicare, it's kind of like what the big print giveth,
yeah,
the little print taketh away.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest things that people really need to know is that there's enrollment periods that have very strict time periods related to them, certain periods of times of your life, and they can affect you. You can end up paying penalties for the rest of your life with Medicare if you don't really understand all those thresholds. So there's a lot of education on that. There's also education related to how it affects people with certain income levels and whatnot, because they can end up paying double the amount for Medicare than they would have had to. So they get into the devil's in the details, and that's what we're going to do.
Brian, let me ask you this. What is the one, well, I'm sure there are many, but what is the one misconception? What is the one thing that we don't understand? I kind of feel as though if you put, and I include myself, by the way, in this scenario, if you pulled together 100 individuals and you corralled us into a room, what is the one thing that probably all of us wouldn't understand about Medicare?
I would say the number one thing is how unbelievably sensitive the timing is based on your situation. Because, Joe, what happens is to go on Medicare, you got to be 65 years old. But one of the things that happens, and it used to be that the full retirement age for Social Security was 65 years old. So it was pretty easy, right? They both timed out at the same time. When you apply for Medicare, you actually do it through the Social Security website, and you can do them simultaneously. But now the full retirement age is going upwards of 67, and so many people are not retiring, okay? But and they don't understand, depending on the size of that employer and whatnot, you may have to have Medicare as your primary insurance. So you may still have to file for that, and even though you're waiting for your Social Security. It depends on the employer situation.
And Brian, let me ask you a question. So this webinar, we say it's not just for retirees, but it's also for pre-retirees. What should people who are thinking about retiring or close to retiring know about this?
Yeah, I mean, it probably is more for pre-retirees. But I'd say people who are within a year or two, especially, of Social Security. But if you're one of those people who like to prepare yourself, and, you know, even within 3 or 4 or 5 years, to really wrap your head around it, because the timing's important. And then what happens if you do file for Medicare first? But what happens, if you do put off Medicare because you have insurance through your employer, mm-hmm. How does that have to time out? And what's the time period that you have? What overlaps? Okay, because they give you overlapping time periods for that. If you miss that period, that window right after that, you could end up having to put off getting coverage until the following year. And then you could actually be, you could actually have a surcharge or a penalty added to your Medicare premium for the rest of your life. It starts at 10%, but for every year that you do that, it's another 10%. So I think the timing is the number one thing, especially as it relates to some pretty common situations.
Brian Dougherty joining us here on The Labor Show with Jadok and Krause as we broadcast to you live here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brian, I want to put this in the context of an iron worker or a steam fitter or a sprinkler fitter who toil in hard labor and might be ready to get on the doorstep or get to retirement at 55 or 58 or well before that area or that number, that 65 number, or I don't want to call it a magic number, but that threshold. And I think that's part of where the confusion comes in. So if you're in that space, I think it's a good thing to get yourself educated by dropping in or attending this webinar, because that road, you got to prepare for that and not wait until you get to that point. Is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely. It's funny you even mentioned that. I sat down with a couple different steam fitters over the last year. And, you know, fortunately for those guys, they have supplemental
benefits
that will actually pay for health insurance while they are in that early retirement period until they get to their Medicare age. And so, but not every union has that.
And let me jump in here, Brian, ask you, how many people don't know? How many people do not understand this information and actually do make those timing mistakes that, like you said, in many cases are irreversible?
Yeah.
I'm saying, you say 100 people walk into a room, how many people on average don't know?
If you were to say well ahead of time before you start to try to educate yourself, fortunately most people do work on trying to educate themselves as it gets imminent.
Or they have a professional working with them.
Yeah, but I'd say 99 out of 100, you know, people who are just still in their working phase have no idea how to time these things out. One of the biggest things, Joe, actually, that delays people's retirements is healthcare. Because even at 62, you can take an early Social Security benefit, but you can't take Medicare. And you have to go to the healthcare marketplace. And sometimes the cost at that age, you're going to be at the very highest. Could be, you know, prohibitive for, you know, husband and wife. I've seen them where they're upwards $1,800 each a month.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So
you mean for the healthcare marketplace?
For the healthcare marketplace, say from the age of 62 to 65. So what are you going to do? You're like, $1,800 each during that three period, maybe I'll just put off retirement until I'm 65. You see a lot of people doing that. So you really got to plan. If you really want to retire early, it's not just about planning for the amount of money you're going to need for income. It's about planning for your health care as well.
And so we're going to learn, we're going to cover all these things in the webinar in September.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so repeat, if you would, when's the webinar?
Webinar we're going to do September 21st, Wednesday, September 21st, 6:30 p.m.
And the information will be on phillylabor.com on the website, also on...
Yeah, it'll be on my website, plcfs.com. We just booked it, so I haven't gotten it up there yet, but it will definitely be up there within the next few days. And, if you have any questions about it, you can contact me, My number's on the website, 215-804-9708, or you can email me, bdoherty@plcfs.com.
All right.
Good stuff from Brian Dougherty here on The Labor Show, hour number one on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. By the way, as we go to the break, $1,800 a month over 12 months. That's $21,000 per year. Incredible. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Ironworkers Local 401, Boilermakers Local 13, Plumbers Local 690, Roofers Local 30, and IBEW Local 98. Choose a Local 98 contractor.
And back here live on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. J-Doc, let me get right to you. We only have 2:40 to update everyone on the Unite 54 settlement, the Unite here, Local 54 in AC. So let me come to you first to put some of those details out, and then you and I will wrap it up in hour number one.
So, Joe, it was big news going into the 4th of July weekend. We didn't get a chance to cover it, and I wanted to give a shout-out to the leadership and the membership of Unite here, Local 54 in Atlantic City, for reaching an agreement with the Hard Rock Casino and avoiding a strike that would have taken effect, actually, last Sunday at 12:01 in the middle of the holiday weekend. But also, they have settled and ratified agreements recently with the Borgata, with Caesars, with Harris, and the Tropicana, and some other casinos that they're nailing down right now. So just fantastic. It's a great thing during the summer season. People are going to be able to go down to the casinos and have a great time. They're going to get quality service and great workers down there. This particular contract was more the previous contracts were about health care and pension benefits, but this was about significant pay raises for the workers. Obviously, the cost of living is going up in so many different areas. And Joe, one of the things that's important is the last time they were in the middle of contract negotiations and we were in AC, it was several years ago. And of course, we all remember what Carl Icahn did when he shut down everything. And so and he sold the Taj Mahal, because the workers wanted benefits. Okay. And so several years ago that we were in AC talking to the workers on the line, and Carl Icahn actually threatened him and said, if you want benefits, health care benefits, okay, Bob McDevitt told us some of these jobs aren't high paying jobs. These people had these jobs for the benefits. Otherwise, they could work at 7-Eleven or Wawa. And so they were there, on the line, out there demonstrating for benefits, for health care for their family. He not only didn't give it to them, he shut the darn place down. And I want to give another shout out to Jim Allen.
Do it quick.
Yeah, Jim Allen, who's the chairman of the Hard Rock International, who made the following statement. We're extremely pleased that we're once again able to reach a successful settlement with Unite here, Local 54, to increase wages and benefits for our deserving team members. We look forward to further expanding this excellent relationship at both the national and local levels as we expand our iconic brand. Shout out to Jim Allen, chairman of Hard Rock International, man. What a difference several years makes.
Hour number one of The Labor Show comes to a close. I'll shout out my exclusive presenting partner, Ocean Casino Resort. Why? They have a Me Too clause. They accept and work hand in hand with the union community. Hour number one comes to a close. That's going to do it for J-Doc. I'm Joe Krause. Stick around. Hour number two on the other side.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey.